So we are learning Masechet Sanhedrin. We're on Daf Kafchet Amud Aleph 28a. Learning through quite a tough sugya, because we have to follow the genealogical family trees of who we're talking about, and who's missing, who's in, who's out, what their relationship is to one another, whether it's a first level relationship, a third level relationship. So all of these items mean that it's not so easy to follow exactly what we're talking about. However, Hashem created the oral Torah, the Gemara.
Markers?
No, we're good. In order,
and is that good?
It's wonderful. Thank you very much. In order to teach us how to use our brains. So even though it's hard, or dafka because it's hard, that's why we should put our heads into trying to learn it, because we have all these billions of neurons, pathways connected between our brain cells, and 90% of them are sitting there doing nothing, just waiting to get their little neurological hands on this material so they can start beeping and processing and forming new links. And when we do that, our brain increases and we start to understand more of the world, both in terms of what's on the page and also in terms of what's not on the page. The rest of the world starts to make a lot more sense once we've learnt about the relationship between a son-in-law and his uncle. Well, who knew that that was going to make sense as to why my mother doesn't love me? Tough, but now it makes sense. Etc. Anyway, with that happy thought, let's open the book.
For sure your mother wants that you will have Gadlus Demoichin. Tell her that this is the path to Gadlus Demoichin. Maybe it's convinced her.
I tried. Trust me, I tried. Okay.
Let's change the subject, because I have a hard enough time dealing with Yishai's class.
Yofi. Tov. Anyway, so what are we learning? We're learning about... We have a Mishnah.
What I did now, it's called Eitz Geber.
What?
What I did now, it's called Eitz Geber.
Like,
it's not really help that Eitz.
It's all good. It's good and everything. Tov. So what we're trying to do now is like this. So the Gemara gave us a Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. We have a new Mishnah. The Mishnah lists out all of the disqualified relatives. And then we're going through in the Gemara to see either where they came from, where do you get the list from, or to see if there's any challenges to that list, or to clarify what the list actually means. Right, they're basically what we're trying to do over here.
So there are eight categories.
Eight, yeah, according to our
Mishnah. Categories.
Apparently.
And
yes.
24, what's a better word, subcategories?
Okay, yeah, fair.
I mean, for lack of a better word, I can't think of a better word than that.
That's a good word. Yofi. So that's what the mission apparently says, but we're still trying to work out if that's correct. That's what the Mishnah, that's what the Brighter came along to confirm, because Rav tried to explain the Mishnah in a different way. When Rav explained the Mishnah, he added sons and sons-in-law. Because he added sons and sons-in-law, it came to 32. And that was a problem, because we saw a Brighter which says it was only 24. So then we had to reinterpret Rav. So we reinterpreted Rav in a different way. Let's put that up so that we can continue from where we left off. Rav said like this. Rav said, that his uncle, his son,
his
son-in-law.
Right, Rav said that he So we said, what are the numbers?
1, 2, 3.
And the question whether the son-in-law is a 2 or a 3. Right. We're currently concluding that it's probably a 2, because he's the same level as the daughter, and he's not much removed. But Rav said that this category also included a son and a son-in-law. Now, originally we said, Rav, we explained Rav, that the Mishnah was talking about an extra son and son-in-law. According to, we had an extra son and an extra son-in-law. Right? And that would have made a 3.
And a 4.
And a 3 or a 4, depending on. Right? So, when we said that there's only 24, we discounted that. We said that we're not going to go with that explanation, right? Because that would add in a total of
32,
right? Well, we can't have 32 altogether, because we have a brighter that says there's only 24 in total. So only 24 in total means only on this generation, not an extra generation down.
So you're only talking about two generations.
The son and the son-in-law means that son and this son-in-law. Right, which is then the exact same 2 or 3, the exact same mirror of this. Right, on both sides. Right, so that's... So then we had a problem. So we finished yesterday with a problem. What was the problem we had? If... If so, then we disqualify a third against a second. We disqualify a third against a second. If Rav thinks that the son-in-law over here is a 3, right, Rav said that they're not equal. We said that, that Rav had two opinions. The opinion down here said... That the son-in-law was the same level as the son, because Baal ke ishto, the husband is like the wife. If the husband is like the wife, then the son-in-law is on the same level. But we revised that and said no. When we got rid of this, we also got rid of the fact that the husband is on the same level as the wife. But right, we also got rid of that.
Didn't we cover earlier that the reverse, or is it somewhere further on, that the wife is equivalent to the husband?
Same thing.
That means that if the wife is equivalent to the husband,
yes,
then this son, then son-in-law
is equal
to the son.
That's what, 100%, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So now, we're saying you're right. Thank you. The husband is equal to the wife. Because the husband is equal to the wife, that's what makes this son-in-law number 2.
Right.
Right. That's what makes it number 2. We take out the 3. And so this is now a number... No. Sorry. Now I'm confused. Good morning. Rav said, you're right, but we got rid of that. We want to bring back this one in as number 3. According to Rav, he is a number 3. According to Rav.
Oh, so okay, so we're just talking about Rav.
Just talking about Rav. Rav thinks that the here. Ela le'olam chatno mamash.
I'm sorry, where are we?
We are in 28A3, first column, halfway down the first column. Right?
Oh, Ella, okay.
Ella, right? When we revise Rav and we take out this is the original Rav, right? When we take this out, we put a big cross through it and say, no, all of this is wrong. We don't go by that. The Gemara says, Ella lo'olam chatno mamash. Actually, we are talking in the Mishnah about his real son-in-law, meaning the new one up on the other level, the higher level. Why does he call him his son's son-in-law? Because since he comes into the family from the outside, i.e. through marriage, he's considered to be removed another generation. Rav says he's considered to be removed another generation because he came through marriage. He doesn't hold this. Rav does not hold now that the husband is like the wife. No, not in this new explanation. He now holds that he came in to the family via the wife, so he's actually now number three. According to Rav, he's on the level of number three. One, two, and three. This is one removed.
So does that mean that the wife is now part of the husband's family?
No, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything for anything else. It just means in terms of the relationship for this purpose only. For this purpose only. For the sake of qualifying him on a level away from the principles. He's two, three away from the principles. Okay, what does that mean? It now means that we can bring a Krishna against Rav. Now we've got a difficulty on Rav. What's the difficulty? So the difficulty, the Gemara says, Ichafi, if so, if you come to this second position, right, you're right, let's get rid of all this. Right, let's throw this away. And let's go back to this position. Right, but that's still a problem. Why? Because now, Ichafi, if so, Havale Shlishi B'Sheni, now we've got a Shlishi against the Sheni. V'Rav Akasher Shlishi B'Sheni. Right, so now the problem is like this. Now we've got the fact that a number three is disqualified from that. Again, he says in other words against the two. He can't go against him, he can't go against him. Right? Right? Three is disqualified, basically. Right? According to this new position, Rav says a three is disqualified. But it's not true. Because Rav allows a three elsewhere. Here, this three, if this guy has a son, and he would be a three. But we don't include him in the listed disqualifications. So over here we're saying a three is disqualified, and over here we're saying a three is not disqualified. Meaning the same shlishi. All shlishis have to have the same rule. Even though he's a son-in-law and he's a member of generation down, that's still, according to this, it's still... According to Rav, if you explain the son-in-law as a three, then you have a problem. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So how do we explain now? Ella. No?
No. He's the son, his own son. It's number three. He can testify about his father?
Yeah, no, he can
number
testify
two?
Against...
The grandfather.
Against...
Number one.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in number two?
No, because then it's a new picture.
Ah.
Between him and him is one. That's one,
but
two.
Okay, you know.
Like, yeah. One and two. But here, from here to here, three to one, he can't.
But
he can. He's allowed to testify against him.
But in the son-in-law?
But he is not.
He cannot.
He's not. He's like, he's part of the disqualifications. He can't testify
but
against him.
But
he can. What?
He's number two.
Who?
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So that's why the Gemara says it's a problem. How can he be a number three? Because we see other number threes aren't disqualified. You have the same rule. Ella, rather, how do we understand Rav instead? Gemara says, Ella Rav da'amak Rabbi Elazar. Rather, Rav
we have to understand, like what Rav Elazar said, Tanya, Rabbi, it's taught in a brighter. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kishem She'achi Tov. Let's do the brighter, if we can agree. Kishem She'achi Abba Lo Ya'id Li. Just like, we've got a new brighter. Writer of Rav Elazar, and he's going to provide his proof for Rav. Remember, Rav's a Nagora, so we need to have proof from a writer to show what Rav is actually talking about here, because this is a problem. So how can Rav be correct? Because he follows the writer of Rav Elazar, which says what? So Rav Elazar says, just like my father's brother cannot testify against me. So far it's the same.
Is it too wrong?
Huh?
He's two. Rabbi Elazar.
Rabbi Elazar, we haven't got to Rabbi Elazar yet.
No, he's saying.
I'm going to write it now. He's not yet clear.
No, he didn't read it.
I'm about to read it.
He cannot, the father, his son, brother-in-law, and his father cannot testify about him.
This is Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah.
You wanna, let's put Rabbi Elazar up and then we'll see. Okay, so what Rabbi Elazar, he says, just like Rabbi, I'm going to do him on top so we can see the same. Rabbi Elazar said, just like green is the bright side, yeah? Just like Achi Abba Lo Ya'idli, Achi Abba, right? So far, it's all the same. Just like my uncle can't testify against me. Who Ubano Vakatno? Neither him, his son, or his son-in-law. So far, exactly the same. Ka ben achi, so too ben achi, the son of my brother. No, ka ben achi abba. So too the son of my ka achi abba. The same thing. So too the son of my uncle cannot testify concerning me. This guy. Just like my father's brother cannot testify against me, and I didn't understand. Why does that happen? Or his son in law. Actually, my father cannot testify concerning me. So too, my father's brother cannot testify. Just like my father's brother cannot testify concerning me. Don't you my father's brother's son? The answer is son. So he says like this. Sorry. He starts off the same. This is the difference. He says like this. Just like my father's brother cannot testify against me, neither him, his son, or his son-in-law. So far, so good. So too, my father's brother's son's son, his son, and his son-in-law also can't testify against me. He brings it down and drops it another level.
Okay.
Right? That's the additional. He adds on, just like Rav added on down here. So Rav Elazar adds on down on the other side of the table.
But
so you're talking about three generations?
So he does add, so we see there is a brighter which does include the third generation.
This is his statement.
This is Rav Elazar.
The first was Rav.
Rav. The first was Rav. And the black was Rav.
Rav Elazar gave two statements. One for Rav and one for himself.
No. Rav Elazar, that's a brighter. We're talking Rav didn't. Rav wasn't alive until 200 years later. Rav Elazar said in the brighter.
Yeah.
Just like this one.
Okay.
Also that one.
just like the first one. Why do you say it that way? Because it was clearly going against another opinion that it was only like this. So he said it in this way. Just like this is true, you accept that. Also, this is true. That's what he was saying. Why he said it in those terms. So what do we see? So we see that there is such a thing as a third being disqualified. Now the Gemara says, Akati Havele Shishi Bishi. It's still a third. So what's he saying? So he's saying, fine, you're right, you have found proof that we have a brighter that disqualifies a number three. Which is what we said Rab was doing over here, he was disqualifying number three. But we still haven't found, the Gemara says, the reason why Rav disqualifies a number three over here that allows a number three down there. You're right. We got one part of the proof. We do have a proof that number three is rejected from a brighter. From a brighter than where number three was disqualified. But Rav himself still has a problem as to why Rav himself allows this type of number three, but it doesn't allow this type of number three. That's still a problem. So the Gemara answers that at the end of this piece now, and it says, Rav Savale Kavter Bechada or Pelig Aleya Bechada. Rav agrees with him in one and argues with him on the other. Right?
Which means?
So he's saying like this. He's saying, you're right. Rav is saying, 100%. I agree with this writer that number three is disqualified. But I disagree in terms of the level of where that number three is. There's two types of number three. You've got number three, which is this generation. Which is one generation away. And you've got a number three, which is a generation down. This is an extra generation. Down. It's another. And you're right, it's removed from a third step. You know, one, two, three. And this is also one by the wife, two, to the son-in-law, three. You're right, there is three steps. So they are three removed, but the difference is a different generation. So although on the one hand I agree, that I agree in terms of the number of people away, I don't agree that you can drop the additional generation. You're right, this is three people away, one, two, three. This is also three people away. And this is a whole different generation. So he agrees on one side, that you can have a third person away, a third removal, but not agree on the other side, he disagrees with him that you can actually drop the extra generation to get that number three. And that's the conclusion of Rav. So at the end of the day, Rav is saying like this. Rav is saying like this, and we found that that's a good position. That you can rely partially on this brighter and partially on the Mishnah or the other brighter, which says 24, to go that way. That he can hold that position. We didn't knock him out. We didn't say no, Rav. You're clearly disqualified because this shows you're allowed to be in the third generation.
So he was still at 24.
So we're still at 24, and it looks like, because that's the end of the sugya, it looks like that's the conclusion of the Gemara. That this is the chart that we follow in terms of pattern and checking the Shulchan Aruch to see what we pass him. But it looks like from the end of the Gemara that that's the position it got to. Yeah, because now the Gemara is going to say, "Tov, let's see what the Gemara is going to bring it out a little bit more, because the Gemara is going to say, "My Tamad Rav, what's his source? What's Rav's source for saying that the? Because what's the point? What's the question here? The question is, why doesn't Rav go like this? Rav could go like this. Why did he choose to go this way and not to go that way? We're going to see now. We're going to see Rav's got a reason for going this way, and Rav Elazar's got a reason for looking at it that way. They both have to have a Torah source. And it's not just either a logical source, if you can make out a logical proof why it should be one way or the other, or preferably a Torah source as to why you go one way or the other. So Rav, what's his reason? What's his source? Damakra, because the verse says, Lo yumutu avot al banim ubanim al avot. Right? The fact that the pasuk says banim ubanim, lerabot acher. Yeah, I'm just looking at these and seeing the other way round. Why am I seeing the other way round? Cannot do something. There's not disqualified. Oh, tough. So, well, I don't know if I've understood the Gemara right. But let me tell you what it says. It says like this. Rav says, they both take the pasuk, right, that we started from the beginning, right, which is a source pasuk for everything that we're talking about. That the fathers aren't put to death on account of the sons, and the sons aren't put to death on account of the fathers. Right, what's the wording in the Hebrew? Wording in the Hebrew is, Lo yumutu avot al banim ubanim al avot. So they pick up on the words banim ubanim. In the middle of that passage, it says, and the fathers won't be killed on account of the sons, and the sons on account of the fathers. But if you just take out the end bit, and you look at the words in the middle, you get the sons and the sons. Right, the fathers won't be killed on account of the sons and the sons. So those two words together, sons and the sons, give you a hint, says Rav. Rav says it gives you a hint to add on another generation. And Rav Elazar says, Al banim amarachmana pusule ta'avot shadei abanim. Cast those disqualified for the fathers on the sons. He says differently, it doesn't add the next generation, but rather indicates that that's the level on which we take the disqualification to on those sons. So that's the conclusion. I don't think it's worth us unraveling it to try and work it out deeper, but anyone can have homework that they want to do. Yes. Okay, let's move forward. The
I see the story too. Sons and sons.
Yeah.
The son-in-law becomes our son.
Uh huh.
So I don't know, because maybe they take over for the next generation to obtain or whatever.
So the next generation is normally Dor. Normally. Nahon. Usually. Right.
They call it Banim. So the name, our sons.
Right.
The next generation is not called the sons.
No, normally they don't. But here we're trying to find a hint in the wording. It's not explicit. That's, you know, the way that you see from here, this one passage. The fact that the Torah wrote Avotu Banim Banim Al Avot, like four or five words. Yeah. We've got the whole.
Yeah, of course.
Right, from four or five words. So it doesn't. Instead of, if you try and explain this, you have to have 3 pages of explanation that the Torah put into 4 words. Okay. Next, the difficulty or the challenge in this sugya goes on to about halfway down the next page. So there's a little bit more
mental gymnastics to do before we get back into the smooth waters of the rest of the Gemara. Tov. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said like this: Achi chamoti lo ya'idli. You have strength for another picture, another diagram. Yeah. Tov. So let's do Rav Nachman. So we finished with Rav. We've understood Rav apparently a little bit. This is a little bit more than we understood at the beginning of the day, which is also good. So let's have a look at what Rav Nachman's going to teach us now. Rav Nachman teaches us like this. So he says, "Aki yichamoti lo ya'idli."
Let's say so when you have a and the sun and sun, every word in the sun have only one reason, one meaning, cannot have two. When it's written sun and sun, so one sun you take for your sun, then it's only one sun. So you cannot, because
you can know
your sun to the other sun. So you can take it for
your
right. Sun and your.
You're right. You're only allowed to use.
One.
But halacha, you can only use it for one meaning. But it depends. You can use it for more than one meaning if you can, like for example, it says banim. So banim, you can use already for two meanings because you've got ben, you've got banim, and that's elongated. Now the fact that it's doubled up, there's a banim and there's another banim, so you can now got three. So even though it's the same word, there are three different reasons for using it. It just said ben by itself, so you could only use it for one thing.
Okay. You have to write funny. Maybe it's one
America.
You could have written hem just then. Or you could have written ben, because then you learn out from one son. So Rabbi Lachman said like this. Afi Kamoti Lo Yaidi. The brother of my mother in law. So this is Rabbi Lachman. He says, here's his mother-in-law. Mother-in-law and her brother. Right? The brother of my brother-in-law cannot testify against me. My mother-in-law's brother's son. My mother-in-law's brother's son cannot testify concerning me. He can't either. And Ben Asot Kamati Noyedi, and my mother-in-law's sister's son cannot testify against me. Her sister.
Sister.
Son. Also can't testify against me. Like, these are all disqualified. Right? But Tana Tuna. And this is taught in our Mishnah. Rav Nachman comes along to say, you know what? This is also true. He's not arguing. He's just saying, he's just pointing out that this is also true. You can even go by the mother-in-law. I went by the father and the brother or whatever. But he's not going by the mother-in-law and the sister. Just to show that that's also correct. These are also disqualified. And you can also find, and he says, you can find this in our Mishnah. Well,
it matches up with the Mishnah because it says sister's husband.
Right, so the Gemara now brings a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Bal Achoto, Bal Achot Aviv, Ubal Achotimo, Henu Nehem, Ubachot Nehem. So that's already contained in the Mishnah. But you might not have spotted it. So Rav Nachman brings it out.
So the father in law can testify about his father.
The father in law, no?
Right.
This is additional, this is not only, nothing else.
Not
this is also this. Also this. You might not have thought this. You bring something. You might have thought it has to go through the mail, but no. It can also go by the mother-in-law, because the mother, according to Rav Nachman, the mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law is on the same level as the husband is on the same as the wife. It's husband and wife are equal. Rav Nachman and Mrs. Nachman, right? That's Mrs. Nachman's mother, Right? That's her mother, who's the same as the father. Right? So actually, that's the reason why it still works.
Well, the reason it is.
Because they show you that the father in law can testify about it.
The father in law can.
Yeah, he can. But not his.
The father in law can.
Yeah.
No, because there's no difference between his mother, no difference in the relationship from Rav Nachman between him to his mother in law to him to his father in law. Same relationship.
The only reason they didn't mention it is because they were talking about the laws of inheritance, which dealt with the male side.
In where?
In the Mishnah.
Right. Okay. So, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, let's get to the bottom of the page. Rav Ashi said, always good to turn the page. Ki havinam bei ula ibala. When we came to the house of Ula, we asked him a question. What was the question we asked? Achi chamiv mahu. What is the law regarding one's father-in-law? One father-in-law's brother. Right? This one. And we just said the mother-in-law's like the father-in-law. So what's the law regarding the father-in-law's brother? Just like you asked for a minute. It's a good question, because they asked a lot. So it must be a very good question. Ben achi chamiv mahu. What about one father-in-law's brother's son? Right? Father-in-law's brother's son. Right? Anything but just with a father. What would that be the same? Amalan, he said to us, Tani Tua, you've learned it in the Mishnah. Achiv v'achi aviv v'achi imo henu v'nei henu v'nei henu. Is your brother, his father's brother, and his mother's brother, they their sons and their sons-in-law, meaning they're the same. Right? The same thing. Rav ikla lemizbanin. Rav went out to buy, over the page, vile, parchment. Vile, we rolled up things. Parchments. Right? Mezuzahs probably, whatever they were. They rolled up a lot of things. Megillah, I know. Whatever they rolled up on a parchment. Baomene, while he was shopping for his parchment, they stopped him in the supermarket and they said to him, what's the law regarding whether one may testify concerning his stepson's wife? Right, we know that the stepson, the Hogah, was included in the people that are disqualified. But what about the wife of the stepson? Is she now so far removed? Even though we had this rule about the wife being the same as the husband. Maybe in the case of the stepson, it's already so almost off the page that he's really the end. And his wife is not included in the disqualification.
But we covered it earlier somewhere saying the stepson is the same as the son.
Yes.
Because
go on.
Because it is the son of either the father or the mother, which is equal.
Right, but then but they still had a question on the wife. You're right, they still had a question on the wife. Rav answered it quite easily. Rav answered him and said, Basura Amre Baal Kishto. In Surah they say the husband is like the wife, but Pumpadita Amre Isha Kabala, and in Pumpadita they say the wife is like the husband. But either way, depending on which way you say it, why they say it one way in Surah, and they say it in the reverse way in Pumpadita. They're the two main yeshivas in Bavel, Surah and Pumpadita at that time. Right? Why they said it, the husband's like the wife in one place, and the other place they said the wife's like the husband. So, I don't have an explanation, but I'm sure there's deep things as to why one of them put the wife first and one put the husband first. I don't think it's a question of shalom bayit, but there's a reason there. Let's just finish the end of this piece.
Damar Rav Huna. Rashi.
No. Damar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Nachman. For Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Nachman, Minayin Sha'isha Kabbalah. How do I know that that's for me? For the next one, talk. How do I know? You're trying to have a hint or something. You should learn a little bit more. Maybe two. How do I know that the wife is like the husband? Because it says in the pasuk. It says, Moshe, can you just push the door? Thanks.
Thank you. So, because it says in the pasuk, "Tichtiv ervat achi avicha lo tigale el ishto lo tikrav dodatcha hi." Do not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. Do not approach his wife. She is your aunt. Aunt. Va'ala, but is she not his uncle's wife? Why is she called his aunt instead of being called his uncle's wife, which is a true relationship? It's not actually his aunt. He's not related to her. She's related by marriage. It's not his aunt at all. It's his husband. It's his uncle's wife. We happen to call her aunt for convenience, but she's not related. She's right. It's his uncle, but why is it called his aunt? Answer: Miklad de Isha Kabbalah. In order to teach you that the wife is like the husband. You're right. She really is your aunt, even though she's not related to you. She just came into the family by marriage. So the fact that Torah told you that she's your aunt comes to teach you this rule. And here we have a proof for the rule that the husband is like the wife from the Torah. Yofi, Adkana, Yom. Very good.